getting into my personality for the show. One smirk.
What is your personality for this show?
More snarky than I was on the Eternal show. We were very like good guy, bad guy on the Eternal show.
Right.
I feel more bad guy on this show.
Am I painting you that way? Is that?
No.
Okay.
I just think I'm a little more contrary than I was on the previous show, outside of Mark can possibly disagree.
Right, because that was my role. When we sat down and created the Eternal show, we were like, I need to be snarky. I need to not like, I didn't want to be offensive. I didn't want to be rude. I didn't want to be annoying. But I wanted to make arguments that I didn't necessarily believe, but I knew somebody out there did. So I was trying to be a voice for those people.
I think it was also very much in the design of the show and in the stated purpose of that show. The goal of that show was to be an entertaining Eternal podcast with a little bit of information from scrub tier players.
Right.
But stated purpose is going to be important for today.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we forget to publish our newsletter. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason.
I think I'm going to get tired of saying it eventually, but the beginning of the school year has been really busy.
Sure. And I debated even making that the opening Misplay, because we're like, do we want to say keep telling people that we're not doing everything we're supposed to be doing? But again, it is the
process. And there's value in honesty.
Where are we?
Trying to get organized.
That's a good way. Trying should be on our mission statement.
We're trying to design a game. We're trying to record a podcast that people want to listen to.
Yes. We're trying to publish a newsletter.
It's kind of brutal. You know that like platitude that you tell people, you did your best.
Right.
I had a high school chemistry teacher that said to our class once, sometimes your best isn't good enough.
Okay. I mean, I don't like, as a teacher, I hear that from like, I get what they're saying, but I'm also like the student view. I'm like, that would suck to hear.
I think it's also very different to tell that to a room full of high schoolers than to tell it to a room full of second graders.
Right. For sure.
But we are trying to get more organized about what we're trying to accomplish and how we're going to accomplish, I think is the more important piece that we're here for today. When we originally pitched the Misplay project as podcast, game design company, brand, we pitched it as, we are a podcast about making a board game company that makes board games.
Which, by the way, I'm just going to say, nobody liked. Everybody was against me labeling it that way. It's still that way on the website. But when we created the coasters and when I've created the flyer, I've shortened that to a podcast about making a board game. That was the tagline.
Aside from whatever aesthetic opinions you might have about that particular version of the pitch, that pitch does make the Misplay an organization and not just, we call it a passion project, which it is, but in the way that we want to do it, it has to be more than that. And so the Misplay, I think, in light of our experience at Gen Con and what we have learned about the scope of making board games in the last 3 months, it requires a little bit of change of thinking about how we think about what we're doing. And I think it requires us to think of the Misplay as an organization or as a business. And I'm not the business guy, but you're going to help, hopefully.
I'm the business guy, yeah.
Great. An organization has some of these components and probably more that I'm not going to touch on, but our business needs a reason to exist or a mission statement. We'll have products that we're creating. We would have goals, a strategy, a vision, and then we would have a series of processes that are designed to carry out the mission to create the products. How close am I?
I think you're spot on. I think those are the most important things for us to be talking about right now and to nail down. There's a lot more that would go into it if we were creating, you know, a 50-page business plan. But starting with the mission, the reason to exist, I like that you phrased it, reason to exist. That would be a funny thing to see on a PowerPoint presentation. Our reason to exist. I don't think most employees embody or care about their company's mission statement. I think it's important. And we do it in a way that isn't like somebody reads it and goes, oh, okay, whatever. The ChatGPT wrote that, right? And we looked at a couple of mission statements. We looked at Stonemaier's. We looked at Friendly Skeletons. And I'll give you Stonemaier. Stonemaier says, we believe in creating memorable, beautiful, fun games. What employee there doesn't like that, right? I mean, I like that one. That's like very to the point. It's simple, but it also conveys a very nice message.
And it does a good job catching the tone, the quality, the affect of what their company aspires to, which for me is what the mission statement is for. We also looked at the Friendly Skeleton mission statement, where their mission is to make games that are easy to play, inclusive, and affordable. We believe that everyone should be welcome at the table, and it's our mission to bring more people to the table to spread the joy of this hobby. Whether it's your first or thousandth time playing, we hope these bones give you a good laugh and a night of fun.
And I really like they had an article that went with it explaining how they got there and their process in creating that mission statement.
I would also argue their products are very true to their mission statement. Speed Colors, which we both bought.
Yeah.
I'm teaching my class how to play that game right now.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of games that I can sit down and teach in such clear systematic parts that are part of the game's design already.
Yeah, and I recommended the game to somebody on Reddit this week, and I think Friendly Skeleton would like the nod to the inclusion part of their mission statement. There was a post on Reddit this week where somebody had said, my friend is having some challenges and we want to play a board game where you don't have to talk, where you don't have to speak. And I said, Speed Colors.
And in that spirit, we want our game and the work that we do as the Misplay to be reflective of our mission statement. But that's going to require us to reimagine it and clarify it for ourselves of like, what do we envision for the game and the show?
The show is like the second half of that, right? There's always the game and then there's the show as well. So linking those is going to be part of the challenge.
And we're more practiced at the show. And so a lot of what we're going to be doing for, I don't know if this is jumping ahead too much, but a lot of what we'll be doing is talking about the game design, the company, the systems part, because our podcast process works pretty well for us.
Your next point was goals, strategy, vision. When you wrote it as the non-business person, what were you thinking?
I was thinking about it in terms of what we need to do and what we want to accomplish from now to the end of the year. And so for me, what goals are goals are the steps along the way, the things, the concrete things that we need to make, create, have in place, and be able to use in order to reach kind of the longer term goal. So it comes to me because of the conversation that you told me you had with Mike C about goals at Gen Con.
When I was walking the exhibition hall with Mike C, he had asked me at one point what our goal was. And I said, initially I said, well, my goal is to launch a game on crowdfunding. And he goes, that's easy. You can do that. And I was like, oh yeah, I could just like, I can make anything and put it on crowdfunding. Like, goal accomplished, right? I can grab MMA Gauntlet right now, draw some pictures, upload it, and create a page. There, I've launched the game. And then I was like, oh, well, it has to be good. Like, okay, so then we're redefining that goal. We have to create something that we think is good, that we're proud of on Kickstarter. I think we do need to really define better what that end goal is, that it isn't just putting something onto crowdfunding. Because the reality is, as Mike C was talking about with me, we can do that now. We can put anything up there. We put Supermarket Game up there. It's not very good. No one's going to donate money to that except for my mom. Maybe not. I don't even know. Narrowing in on that is also going to be important over the next month. And then, as you have been working on, your third point was the process to carry out the mission. So we have our goals, we have the mission statement, and how do we do the things we say we want to do? And you spent a lot of time working on that. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
But before we do that,
This week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more.
We talked last time about their Q&A one-year anniversary celebration. What we didn't tell you is at some point in our Discord, they had shared that we are their Hunter Pence.
Right.
When I read that, I had to laugh. One, because we have nowhere near the reach of Hunter Pence. And I think the reality is we have nowhere near the reach of Board Game Casual either.
No.
There's a symbiotic relationship happening between us and Board Game Casual right now. And I think we are definitely more the primary recipients of that benefit.
For sure.
Please go continue to check out Board Game Casual's content on YouTube because they are signal boosting us more than we are signal boosting them.
Check them out, Board Game Casual on YouTube at Board Game Casual channel.
What are we working on?
The Misplay as an organization. And within that organization, what does that tree look like? There is the podcast and there is the game design. Those are the two branches I see first. Would you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's always important when we're talking about the Misplay to kind of define what part of the organization we're talking about. We have the podcast that we envisioned would tell the story of designing the game. When we have on the headphones, when we're in the studio.
Such that it is.
That we would just be presenting the work that we're doing to create the board game. And to be honest, as we've always tried to do, there was a business angle with that. It was, if we can tell a compelling story, if we can pull people in, then they're going to be more likely to engage with a game that we create.
I still think it's a good idea.
I'm waiting for the but.
But the disconnect I think we ran into was there was an amount of underestimating what the task of designing a game is.
Yes. But I've said this several times to people. I've said, what we're doing right now, because I've talked to lots of people about the podcast, like at a party, just talking to somebody's like, oh, I really like board games. I'm like, oh, that's interesting because I have this podcast. And when I'm talking to them, I said, you know, it'd be a different podcast if we knew what the game was going into it. If we said, this is our game, we want to create this, than what it is right now, which is us trying to figure it out. And so now what we're seeing is that what we're doing right now, this, you know, what we're calling season one, essentially, is us trying to figure that out. We didn't know that going in. When we sat down, we're like, let's create a game. There's a lot to it.
And your first idea is not necessarily the idea that you're going to be able to go with.
Right. So that's one side of the Misplay organization, is the podcast, what we're doing.
And to be clear, as the part of the organization that is more practiced and more developed, we have good processes for the way we write our shows, the way we record, the way we edit, the way we publish. Those things are all well in place. And what we have seen is we need to design our processes and systems for building the game, designing the game.
Right. So other side of the organization, designing the game. As you just said, we have a process for writing our shows. And you spent a lot of time diving in and thinking about what the game design side of the Misplay would look like. I'm looking at all of your notes right here. I opened up the show doc and I'm like, oh, this guy's a go-getter. He is the business guy.
I have a really niche like subfield as the business guy, and it's going to be processes and systems.
Mark keeps saying the systems, and I'm like, what is he talking about? That's how business you've become.
The way that I think about it in looking at every show that we've come to and we've been like, oh, we didn't get there this week. I look back and I see, oh, we didn't have a process. We didn't have an understanding of what the task would be in order to get from starting to plan the show to the information and content that we wanted to share in the show. What I mean by that is when we sat down to prototype MMA Gauntlet and Supermarket Game, I know we put on like the pictures, right? We put on the pictures of what we designed. Jason's game was like a few pieces of scrap paper and one like 8.5 by 11 that we drew on. my MMA gauntlet were just these like printouts with like very basic. We did the bare minimum to get to what we wanted to record for that show. And that's outside of the recording, the physical production of the process for making the podcast. So at all of these places where we didn't quite hit the mark on what we wanted to do in terms of game design, for me, comes back to we didn't have a process in place. We didn't have a task or a procedure that we could follow that let us create the content that we would then present on the show. Fair?
Completely fair.
So for me, to bridge the gap between all of the things that we want to accomplish in designing the game and then being able to take what we design and what we're working on and tell the story on the show, which I think is a core part of the mission. It is to be building the game and take the things that we do during the time that we're building and present them on the show. Like, I think that is a very core piece to whatever the mission becomes. We want to create the processes that will make efficient use of our time and effective use of our time when we're doing the design. Because every time we've come on the show to say, oh, we didn't quite get there, it was, oh, we just ran out of time. It was really hard to find a time to record for very legitimate reasons. And like that, again, may be part of the mission, or at least as part of the environment that we're working in.
I like that you said, time is our resource. Made a connection to gaming. Oh, time is our resource.
I see what I did there.
Yeah.
I see what you helped me do there. In order to make our time efficient and effective, we need these processes to be able to fall back on so that it can be very clear when we meet for our hour and a half of game design, these are the things that we're going to do. So for me, it breaks down into kind of like four large categories that probably have a lot of pieces that will come up and we'll develop things for. But we need a game design cycle. We need a prototyping cycle. We need a playtesting cycle. And then we need a system of communication that allows the people that are going to collaborate with us to all have the same information in a way that allows us, when it's time to go from communication to a playtest cycle, that everybody is on the same page and that playtest will be efficient and effective for the goals of that playtest session so that we're not losing time because everybody's busy. Everyone is really spread out in the team that we're going to be working with.
And he means that physically across the, across the country.
Having these systems in place hopefully bridges some of the gap in terms of just making sure we're using our time wisely. So I think when we talk about, let's use Nightmare Smashers as our case study.
I'm sorry, it's Nightmare Smashers.
Nightmare Smashers.
Yes, we'll use that as the example.
To apply these systems to.
Which were game design cycles, prototyping, playtesting, and communication.
Yes. In terms of the design cycle, I would say we've done one cycle of design for Nightmare Smashers. You, Peter, and I all did our pitches. We had sketches of what the core concepts and mechanics would be. And then we brought those to the table and started discussing them. Say there's definitely enough detail in Peter's game that we could probably prototype Peter's game. There's probably not enough detail in mine. There's probably enough detail in yours to prototype your version.
Yeah, I think mine could be prototyped because I think it is the simplest. And we have gotten feedback. We've had discussions on Discord, which we're going to talk about in the future, not on this show, but we started what would be that cycle. And we could take either one of those games and push to the next piece if we wanted to.
So say we were in a spot where we were going to choose to prototype one of them. We need then the process of what will it look like to prototype? What are the things that need to be accomplished? How are we going to accomplish them and who is going to accomplish them?
Not only that, let's tie it back to the front. It also has to be something that's going to tie into what our mission is, right?
Yes.
Creating a game that is aligned with who we say we are.
Exactly. I like the way you're thinking about this organization now.
Yeah.
It's good. So for me, I know I felt really hung up on the physical distance between all of the people that are going to be working on playtesting. And it was one of those things that we came to and we're like, ah, we're going to need Tabletop Simulator because we're going to have to test remotely. And then we started to undertake that task and we're like, well, didn't get there this week because Tabletop Simulator is hard. So whether it's digital or physical, we're going to need someone proficient in the actual like making of the prototype, whether it's us or whether it's someone else. In terms of Nightmare Smashers, if we wanted to prototype it, say we were going to do yours. Peter has shown me how to set up the card files and how to bring it into playingcards.io to test. So that would have to be done, right? The prototyping piece of having Jason's version of Nightmare Smashers in playingcards.io before we can sit down for a playtesting cycle.
Yes.
And then when we're ready to, once the prototype is done, we can go into our playtest cycle. Our playtest cycles will require scheduled time, a clear testing objective that we've talked about before that's predetermined by the team or by whoever is leading that particular playtest, and then a system to document notes and learnings for the test session so it can go back to the design cycle. Peter actually has been keeping a, when Peter and I had been working more consistently on Dating Game, Peter had a change log of all of the changes that went through Dating Game that I had access to and was able to review and is there on Drive for us. But those are the kinds of things that we need to bring to the forefront of anybody who's working on it needs to come to playtest session having read that. So that's part of the process for a playtest cycle.
Yeah, I really like that idea that Peter had.
So then after the playtest, after the documentation, that's where the content for the show would come from. Here's playtest of Jason's version of Nightmare Smashers. What did we get out of the playtest? What changes are we going to need to make? Are we going back to the design cycle? What worked really well? And that's how we get to tell the story of where the game is and where the game is going. But again, it requires the process behind the scenes for us to have something that can be distilled into a cohesive story that we can follow and that listeners can follow.
And we talked a little bit about that this week. Is one of the gaps that we've had is we don't have essentially like a meeting time where every week we meet at this time to talk for 90 minutes about what we're all working on, whether it's something for the game Nightmare Smashers or if it's something for the podcast or I have this idea. We don't have enough communication avenues with everybody on the team. And so that's one of the things that, like, that's a very concrete thing we're going to do this week. We are going to say, we haven't picked the day yet, but Wednesdays, and we're going to say this week at some point, we're going to say, you know, it's Wednesdays at 5 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, 90 minutes. That's just our standing misplay meeting, be on Discord. And let's talk about what we're working on. Or let's set, you know, these are our goals. These are the, you know, help us with the mission statement.
Zoom us out, Jason. You've always had an eye for the bigger picture, the project manager type of role, the CEO, if you will. COO? Feels like you're the chief operating officer. I am not going to be able to say it.
It's just great that you know what a COO is, though.
See? I'm the business
guy. I'm impressed. Pulling back, big picture, here's what I see. The first, I'm going to say first goal, but there's a lot of things you have to do to get to that point. But based on our experience at Gen Con, what I would love to do, what I'm going to try to do is have, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of minutes, Nightmare Smashers in the playtest room at Gen Con. That's my goal.
You think the game is going to be Nightmare Smashers?
We're going to talk about that in a minute. If we're thinking big picture, I want to playtest, and there's a world where it's not Nightmare Smashers, but I'm saying Nightmare Smashers right now. We're using that as our example. We are playtesting Nightmare Smashers at Gen Con in the playtest room. In order to do that, based on my conversations with somebody in the room that day, we have to apply for that in October. So we need to decide, is it going to be Nightmare Smashers so that I can apply to playtest in their space?
Is it going to be Nightmare Smashers? I've been waiting the whole show to say it. I asked and Jason was like, wait for it. We're not going to talk about it now. You got to wait.
There was a really good example in Will Wright's masterclass that we've been listening to. It was kind of somewhere in the middle of the episodes where he said there was a college class and one class with half of the class, the professors, it was like a clay pot making class. With half of the class, the professor told them, you only have to make one pot, just one. And that's going to be your grade for the semester. You're going to be graded on the quality of that one pot. You have 4 months to make it. And with the other half of the class, he said, you are going to be judged on the number of pots you make. Doesn't matter. Quality does not matter. Make as many as you can. Doesn't matter what they look like. Make as many as you can. It doesn't matter what they look like. Make as many as you can. And what the professor found out is that the people who just make as many as they can make a better quality pot than the one person who's just, they only have to make one and make it really nice. And for us, I'm looking at that from the lens of, we just need to just make, we just need to get into and start making the game. So I'm worried now it sounds like we're doing the one thing by narrowing in, but that's not the point I was trying to make.
I think there's a world where you get the best of both worlds. And it started with Peter's idea. Peter's idea for our Nightmare Smashers pitch was, each of us pitches our own version, right? Nightmare Smashers can be the game. Nightmare Smashers as the game can change. Maybe it's the social card game. Maybe it's Peter's dungeon crawl. Maybe it's worker placement. Maybe it's something else. You could have the assignment be make your flower pot, but you can approach it through make one flower pot. And that pot is Nightmare Smashers. Or you can make your multitude of pots and have it be Nightmare Smasher social game, Nightmare Smasher worker placement game, Nightmare Smasher random draw things out of a bag and throw them game. You can have both.
So that, I think, is the plan, because I want to get to the point that we start essentially what we keep calling in our head season two. I want season two to be us creating Nightmare Smashers. That's what we're talking about now. That is our focus. And the process of creating that one specific game where we're not creating other games and talking about it on the show. To get there, I think by the end of this year, December 31st, that is what I'm saying is kind of like that. I know it's like, feels arbitrary, but it's also like our one, it'll be 1 year. If we can say at the end of this year, this is the game we're going to create. And then next year, January 2025, this is us creating that game. This is the process. This is what's happening. We're going to get all the systems in place that you've been talking, systems, all the systems in place so that come January, we're just like fully operational, building this game, and we can talk about how we're doing it and the specific processes that we're using. We can get us to next August where we're playtesting it at Gen Con in the room. That's my big picture goal right now.
I think we have our work cut out for us.
You and I have not talked about this.
Oh.
Right? We both came into this episode working on different things. And I said, well, I'm going to give the big picture idea. And Mark said, systems. And so I'm saying that to you right now. You think that's achievable? You think we can do that? Do you think that makes sense to you?
I think it's a very clear, measurable, long-term goal to aim for. And we can design the systems in a way that move us in the direction of trying to accomplish that goal.
Wow, that was such a business answer.
But I think it's true. Like, have I ever said this on the show? Everything is behavior?
I'm not sure.
Okay, everything is behavior. It's just the way that I see the world.
Obviously, I've heard you say it 100 times.
Sure. But everything is behavior, and these systems are the behaviors that we will need to do in order to get to the big picture goal that you're talking about.
And there's a world where we apply in October and we don't get picked.
Sure.
That's a thing, right? Yep. That doesn't change the fact that that's what we're trying to do. And if that's still not the case, it doesn't change anything else about what we're doing for Nightmare Smashers. We still want to hit that December 31st goal where we say, yes, Nightmare Smashers. Season two, that's what we're talking about. Whether or not we're playtesting in Gen Con, I don't know. We'll be playtesting in other places for sure as we go through the design process that you are outlining.
That's a goal that's easy to revise. We apply in October. We'll know, okay, we didn't get in. So now where are we going to show the game in August?
Yeah.
I think showing a nice, strong build of whatever the game is going to be in August is like the vision for the goal. And then we modulate as we need to based on whether or not Gen Con accepts us, based on whether or not we have something that we'll be able to show.
GobCon, Games of Berkeley.
Yeah. The thing we went to. That was great.
That was the first misplay thing we ever did for the board game.
I think showing the game in August as kind of the goalpost, that's the target.
I like the way you reframe that.
Hopefully at Gen Con. if not at Gen Con, somewhere else. What's next for us then? I don't think we want to come on the show next week and read all of the procedures that I write. That doesn't sound very fun.
No.
I think next for us then is to really go into another design cycle. Like we'll take the system that we're trying to build for game design, and we'll test it with a version of iterating on Nightmare Smashers, one of them, or a new one, who knows. I'm not going to make a new Nightmare Smashers.
I have ideas.
Let's go bring them to the show next time.
Next week.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C, Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
Friend of the show, Ryan, said the same thing to me. Ryan was the one who came on during Supermarket Game and did the play-by-play calling for us. He reached out and said, Mark's 100% right. That's what you need to be doing.
Thanks, Ryan.
It's funny the way he said it. Thanks, Ryan. You want to try that again?
Thanks, Ryan.
Okay, not genuine. Use the first one.
He's still Ryan Parmalee in my phone.